Well, morning, folks, here in the auditorium at Church in the Marketplace. And if you're watching worship on our YouTube channel, then hi to you. And we just feel really blessed that you're joining with us today. If we could go to a coffee shop and sit down opposite Jesus and look him in the eye, and we could ask him, Jesus, what do you think about what's going on in the church today? What do you think about what's going on in the society around us? What do you think about what's going on in Christians' lives today? If you could say anything to the church, anything about the lives of Christians, Jesus, what would you say? What do you think Jesus would say? What do you think we'd hear from him? Well, we don't have to wonder too much, because the message he shared with the first century church is really the same message for the 21st century church. When we open up the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, we read the letters, the messages he sent through the Apostle John to seven churches. It's like Jesus sitting down, looking us right in the eye and saying, this is what I think, this is what I feel. The seven churches that he wrote to were all different. The great thing about that is it means it fits all kinds of churches today. And a bonus is, as we continue this series about churches, we'll continue to see it's also about us as individuals, as individual believers. We've already looked at the church in Ephesus, a busy church, a church that was so overburdened with activity, it didn't have time to love him anymore. We thought about when we get too busy and how Jesus reminds us to keep first things first, to keep your relationship with me above everything else. This morning we're going to look at what Jesus says to a suffering church. What does Jesus say to a suffering Christian? And the one thing I want us to remember is that Jesus says, when we're suffering, look up and look ahead. If we can do that, we can face the suffering. If I could have a wish today, it would be that we'd hear these words as Jesus' words directly to us. Jesus is going to tell us some things that will help us handle suffering, because we all face that at some time or other. And we share in the suffering of others, people in our family, people that we love, people around the world, other believers we know are suffering. The experience of suffering, even the thought of it, can overwhelm us sometimes. So let's listen to him. What does Jesus have to say when we're going through tough times? And as we are prepared to do that, let's pray. Our Lord God, we thank you that you address all the circumstances in the lives of our churches and our own lives as individuals. And Lord, we're familiar in this time of a COVID pandemic with issues to do with suffering. People in our communities, people in our lives have lost jobs. They're uncertain about the future. We don't know how everything will unfold. And some people have lost loved ones. So, Lord, we're in the middle of a time of suffering. So we pray that as we come before your word, you will help us and you will teach us about some things that help us when we are in those times of suffering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing that Jesus says when we're thinking about times of suffering is, I know. Jesus understands suffering. Jesus understands what it's like to go through difficult times. This church in Smyrna was a church that was in the middle of a big, popular, rich town. It had a great harbour. It was at the end of a big road. The biggest street was called the Golden Street. It went around one of the hills, and they called it a crown sometimes because of the way it circled around the hill. And the jewels in that crown were temples to Zeus and Apollos and Aphrodite. All the temples of the pagan gods were along this golden street. It was a wonderful, beautiful street. The city prided itself as the most beautiful in all of Asia. They prided themselves for their culture and for the wealth that they had. As Christians walked through this city, they weren't a part of all that. They were on the other side of all of that. They felt outside of all of that. They were facing suffering in their lives. So what did Jesus say to them? It's what he says to his church today. It's what he says to you today. First thing he says is, I know. when we're suffering, remember a couple of things. First, He knows what we're going through. He sees it. He knows our lives and our circumstances. Every single thing I'm going through in my life, Jesus sees it. There's not a thing that can happen in our lives that He doesn't see. Folks, these words will never come out of God's mouth. He will never say, "I didn't see that one coming." He knows. You will never hear God say, "That was a total shock to me." He's never going to say that. You'll never hear God say, "You've got to be kidding." God's never going to say that. You'll never hear God say, "Run that by me again." Why? Because God knows all things. We say God is omniscient. Jesus, who is God, knows absolutely everything. Everything we're going through in our lives right now, we're not going through it alone. We may feel alone. We may feel like no one knows and no one understands, but He knows what we're going through, every detail of it. In fact, He knows more about it than you and I know about it. So that's a comfort to me, and I trust that that comforts you too. But we need a second part of it to really comfort us. When Jesus says, "I know," again and again to this church, He's also saying that He understands what they're going through. He not only knows about it, but He understands it. He understands what it's like to be falsely accused because He was falsely accused. Jesus understands what it's like for people who have power for just a brief amount of time to act like they have control over our lives because that's what happened to Him. Jesus knows what it feels like to be ridiculed. Jesus knows what it feels like to be rejected. Jesus knows what it feels like to be whipped and have a crown of thorns put on His head. He knows. He went to a cross. He understands. There's no suffering that you and I can think of that Jesus doesn't understand because He went through it all. If you're going through a tough time now, and some of you are, I know, maybe God wants to remind you that He knows what you're going through. He understands what you're going through. I hope this morning that you hear Him saying, "I know and I understand." I hope you also hear Him saying a second thing. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." In Revelation 2, He said, "To the angel of the church at Smyrna write, these are the words of Him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you into prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Do not be afraid." I want to be honest about this. You hear Jesus saying, "Don't be afraid." One of the most common phrases in the Bible that God speaks to people are those words, "Don't be afraid." And my question is, how do we pull that off? How do we make that work? I get sweaty palms when I have to go to the dentist. We're all afraid of things in our lives. When we think of that level of struggle that we have, how do we make this "do not be afraid" thing work? When Jesus says, "Don't be afraid," I don't think He's saying to pretend that suffering doesn't hurt, because it does. He's not saying that life isn't hard sometimes, because it is. He is saying that we can be sure that ultimately He will not let us down. Guaranteed of that. God will not let us down. These are real words. He's telling us how to live in the real world when He says, "Don't be afraid." If we lived in a fake world, Jesus would say, "Don't be afraid, and it's all going to turn out okay. Life's going to be perfect. You don't have to worry about that." But here's the real world statement He gives us. "Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer." I'm afraid of the second half of that verse. He didn't say, "Don't be afraid, you're not going to suffer." He said, "Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer." Even when we face suffering, even when we face difficulties, Jesus says, We can't be afraid in life. Don't be afraid. I think there are two things to remember about that. When Jesus says, don't be afraid, he isn't saying, don't feel anything. He's saying, trust me in everything. Some people think not being afraid means not having any feelings of fear. It's an Eastern mysticism kind of philosophy that not being afraid means you sort of wander through life. A lot of people think that's how Jesus lived. Have you ever seen any of those movies of Jesus? He doesn't look alive. He doesn't look like he's engaged in life. He doesn't look like he has any emotions. That's not the Jesus I read about in the Bible. When Jesus says, don't be afraid to this church, when he says it to you, he's not saying don't feel anything. He's saying you can trust me in everything, even when life throws its very worst at you. He's not asking us to live in denial. That's not what the Bible asks us to do. Everything's going to be okay. Life's going to turn out perfect. That's living in denial, because life may not turn out perfectly for us. He is saying live in faith. No matter what life throws at us, we know that he's going to be there. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. What does it mean to not be afraid? It means we realize that no matter what happens in life, God's ultimately going to take care of us. He's not saying don't feel anymore. He's saying trust me no matter what the feelings. Many times faith is the decision not to deny our fear, but to move ahead in spite of our fear. It's a recognition of God's presence and God's power. That's what it means to not be afraid. The second thing to remember is watch out for being afraid of being afraid. There's a word for it, it's called worry. To think about and worry about something that hasn't happened before it's happened. God doesn't give us the strength to face the problems we don't have. He just gives us the strength to face the problems that we do have. But there are many times in our life where we make up problems or we think up problems that we might have. We wonder where the strength is going to come from to face the problems we might have. People have said things like, I was afraid of getting cancer until I got it, and then God gave me the reassurance that no matter what, he was going to take care of me. Or I was afraid of losing my spouse until I lost him, and then when I needed it, God gave me the assurance that whatever I went through in life, he would be there to take care of me. Or I was afraid of losing my job, terrified, until I lost it, and when I lost it, when the circumstances happened, then God gave me the assurance. Why should God give us assurance of circumstances that maybe will never happen in our lives? He doesn't do that. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't hurt when you face cancer, that it doesn't hurt when you lose a spouse, that it doesn't hurt when you lose a job. It hurts terribly. But I am saying that when the hurt comes, that's when God gives us the strength at that moment. I think this is where you and I struggle with suffering. In Australia, we struggle with the potential of persecution. Maybe there have been times we've remained silent because of what we thought somebody might do if we stood up for our faith. And the worry about it, the fear about it, kept us from doing the right thing. But I can guarantee you this, whatever you suffer, he'll be there to give us the strength and the power that we need in that moment. That I can guarantee. Let me encourage you to start with the little things. Psalm 3 is what David wrote after he'd been chased out of the palace and out of the city of Jerusalem by his son, who was getting ready to take over his kingdom. His son had all the armies of Israel looking for David to kill him. This wasn't one of those false worry kind of things. His family had betrayed him. These were some tough, dark days in David's life. Here's what he wrote in Psalm 3, verses 5 and 6. He said, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Folks, he had more to worry about than most of us have to worry about right now. Many people who wanted to kill him were drawn up against him. He said, here's my assurance that I'm going to make it. I lay down last night and I woke up this morning. I know I'm going to make it. That's not much. I woke up this morning. Is that really enough to make up to make it through the tens of thousands. But when we start with the little things, it begins to make sense. I woke up this morning. Why would I wake up if God didn't still have a purpose for my life? When it comes to this issue of fear and not being afraid, we have to start with the little things. We walk outside, the sun shines on our face, and we realize what a creative, powerful God He is. We walk outside at night and we see the stars and recognize what a wonderful God He is. He is vaster than we can possibly imagine. So we can't argue ourselves out of our fear, but we can trust ourselves out of our fear. And trust always starts with those little and simple things. You want to have the strength to face any fear? Just remember who Jesus really is. When we remember who He really is, it gives us the strength to face the fears in our lives. John Stott outlined seven truths about Jesus in just these few verses in Revelation. The Bible is filled with truths about Jesus. He is eternal. He's the first and the last. He's victorious. He was dead and now He's alive. He's resurrected. Remember that. No matter what suffering we face, the Jesus we trusted our life to, He's victorious and will be victorious in the end. He's all-knowing. He says it again and again. I know. I know. I know. He's wise. He says, you think you're poor, yet you're rich. Jesus knows things about us that we don't even know about ourselves. He's sovereign. He says to them, for 10 days you're going to face persecution, which means a brief period of time. He's in control of the situation, even when we're suffering. He's purposeful. He says, even the difficulties that are thrown at you, I can use them. And He's generous. He's a generous God. He's a giving God. When we face tough times, when we feel like we're about to be persecuted for our faith, at our job, in our family, when we're going through a time of suffering, hear Jesus say, don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I will always be there. A third thing, eye to eye, that Jesus says to us, Jesus says, I tell you. What does He have to say? In these verses, we see four kinds of persecution and suffering that Christians go through. Poverty. I know your poverty. Why were the Christians poor in a rich city? Because they were Christians. They'd been persecuted economically and financially. Slander. I know the slander of those who are in the city, Jesus says to them. Prison. Down the centuries, there have been lots of Christians who've seen the inside of a prison. Most of Jesus' first disciples, the apostles, saw the inside of a prison at some point because of their faith in Jesus. And death, He says, be faithful even to the point of death. In Australia, which of those four do you fear we have to face the most? Slander, probably. Of the four, that's the kind we would face the most. Somebody says something about us in our office or in our family that isn't true because of our faith in Jesus. And Jesus also tells us some things about the sources of persecution. It's important to understand where it comes from because that helps us. And here in Smyrna, there are four sources that they faced. They faced the powerful. They faced persecution from the Roman government, the powers that be. In their day, it was the government saying to them, you need to bow down and worship Caesar. And when they wouldn't do that, the persecution and the suffering came. In our day, it could be the government, but in our country, the government isn't one of the top power structures anymore. Business is often more powerful than government. Some of you have suffered in your life as a Christian because of an integrity issue in your life from a business source. The greatest power source in our country today is possibly the media. With so many people listening, the truth is those who tell the news have more power than those who make the news. How they choose to tell it determines how you and I hear it. And those in those power centres can choose to believe that Christians are bigoted and will begin to hear that come out. They can choose to begin to believe that Christians are poor workers and we begin to see persecution come out of that. They can choose to believe that you as a believer don't belong in that place and then the persecution starts to come out. Secondly, it comes from the culture. Maybe this is the number one place we face even a little bit of persecution that we face in our country today, the prevailing culture. In Smyrna, they had a temple to the emperor Tiberius. A bunch of cities fought for this temple, and Smyrna won the battle. So they were very proud of their emperor worship. It sort of identified them. It made their city special. It made their city something special among all the cities of Asia. This city is proud of the kind of way they worshipped emperors. They're proud of the temple. They're proud that people come to this temple. And here's these Christians over here. The prevailing culture had to look at them and say, well, who do they think they are? And this is what our culture's doing. This is what we're proud of. And they're over there saying, don't worship Caesar. Who do they think they are? You think that happens in our culture today? If there's a prevailing culture, a prevailing direction that says, this is what we stand for as a nation, this is what we stand for in the 21st century, who do they think they are? They don't fit in. There's a t-shirt with a school of fish swimming one way and one Christian swimming the other. It's kind of a picture of what was happening in this city. That's a picture of what sometimes happens in our lives. There's a couple of other sources of persecution in these verses. The jealous. In this case, it happens to be from the Jewish people of that city who were jealous of the Christian success. But there have been many times in history when Christians have been jealous of Christians and made sure other Christians were persecuted. There's all kinds of people that can be jealous of our success. That might be the hardest suffering to face. Often it comes from the people who could have and should have been our friends, but they end up on the side of the other side of the persecution. That kind of hurts more than any other. And finally, evil. It says in these verses that the devil will put some in prison to test you. The ultimate source of suffering, the ultimate source of persecution, Scripture says, is Satan. Friends, remember, we don't face persecution like millions of Christians in the rest of the world. And so we should be praying for them. But you and I do face persecution. If we don't remember that evil is just as real here in Australia as it is in other countries or anywhere else around the world, then you and I are going to let our guard down. If we're a Christian, we're behind enemy lines while we're in this world and until we get to heaven. Even if the government isn't attacking us directly, even if the media isn't attacking us, believe me, evil is. So Jesus says, be faithful. How can we be faithful in tough times? How can we know we're going to stick it through when the tough times hit? If we're looking at ourselves for that guarantee, it's not there. There's no guarantee in me that I am going to be faithful no matter what. I'm weak. I struggle. Same for you. If we don't believe that God is faithful to us, we won't be faithful to Him when the tough times hit. If we do believe that He's faithful to us, no matter what happens in our lives, we're going to have some strength to be faithful to Him. If I expect that God owes me a perfect life with no problems, I'm in for a big surprise. When that big surprise happens, what am I going to do? Many Christians, when that surprise happens, say, God, you let me down on your part of the deal. I was thinking that this was going to be the Christian life, but it didn't work out like that at all. It had some problems. It had some suffering. And they're going to walk away. They may go through a long period of time struggling with their faith. So right now, let's settle this issue of God's faithfulness in our minds, that no matter what happens, He will be faithful. 1 Corinthians 1 said, God who has called you to share everything with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, but the Lord is faithful and will give you strength and will protect you from the evil one. So let's settle the issue in our mind that God is faithful. Faithful does not mean that God owes us a perfect life. Faithful means we can trust God to keep His promises. God didn't promise to give us a perfect life. He told us in the Bible that anyone who believes in me is going to go through in the world with some suffering. He did promise that we would share everything with His Son. Part of that everything, obviously, is what's going to happen in heaven. We get to share the glories of heaven for eternity. We get to share everything with his son. Guess what else we get to share? We get to share his sufferings while we're here on earth. I like the heaven part. I don't like the suffering part. That's the way we all feel. But the truth of life in this world is that it involves some sufferings. Even for you and me as believers, sometimes just because we live in this world, sometimes because of mistakes we've made in the world, sometimes because we're a believer. When it's because we're a believer, it's called persecution. When it's because we live in the world and we made mistakes, it's called life. It's what the Bible calls sin. All people go through those kinds of sufferings. So don't make the mistake of saying that persecution is because of our sin. That's the kind of suffering everybody faces. We're all going to face struggles in this world, but he's there no matter what. And he has a future for us that's incredible. As we finish up, let me tell you about a man who was a member of this church in Smyrna. His name was Polycarp. Polycarp was like the head pastor of this church. And on the 22nd of February of AD 156, outside of the city, he was captured by the government and was brought into the middle of the city, into the amphitheatre, before the proconsul. And he was asked to deny his faith, the leader of this Christian church. He was asked to bow down to Caesar. What Polycarp said is one of the most famous statements in all of Christian history. He looked that government official straight in the eye and he said, 86 years have I served him and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? Folks, that's faithfulness. What would it be for you? 86 years, 6 years. Has he done you any wrong? He is faithful. He's faithful in ways that we can't imagine. Our life will not be perfect. We will go through struggles. It will not always be easy, but he is faithful. And lastly, hear Jesus say to you, I will give you. Be faithful even to the point of death, it says, and I will give you the crown of life. In the future for us as believers, there's a crown of life. There are some times when what happens in this world can't ever make sense just in this world. There are some times when we suffer things. There are some times when we struggle. There are some times when we see others suffer with things and we wonder why they're suffering. And then we see our brothers and sisters in Christ suffering and we wonder why they're suffering. Folks, sometimes we cannot find the answer in this world because it isn't here. The answer is in heaven. The answer is in that day when he puts the crown of life on our heads. Then we'll understand it all. Then we'll understand every moment of it. I was thinking about this city where these Christians in Smyrna walked down this street called the Golden Street. And they looked at all of these temples that were called jewels in the crown of that street. As they walked down that street, they probably felt pretty inferior. They were poor or weak. They didn't seem very powerful. Here were these grand temples and this golden street. But that's not the end of the story. Who we're reading about today isn't the builders of those temples. We're reading about those Christians who walked that street. The Christians that we're reading about here, they're now walking a different golden street, the one called heaven. And they're celebrating a different crown, the one Jesus put on their heads. When we look at this world and what it looks like, it can look like a pretty fancy place, but it's nothing compared to what God has prepared for us. When we realize what he's going to give us in the future, it helps us to face the now. When we realize what he's prepared for us in the future, it helps us to build faith into our lives right now. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you for the faithful Christians who faced their circumstances and situation in Smyrna. Thank you that that's recorded in Scripture for us to see and to explore. And we pray that you would help us to look up and look ahead, to keep looking to the future you have prepared for us, to keep faith in our hearts and in our minds as we face the circumstances and the struggles and the sufferings that invariably come into our lives and into the lives of people we know and love and into the community around us. In particular today, we pray as we face the problems that confront us because of the coronavirus. Lord, help us to remain faithful and to find new ways of living into that faith and then loving and encouraging those in the community around us. Help us to continue to point to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.